Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. I'm very, very excited for today's episode because it involves a couple of my favorite things, and that would be, science fiction, time travel, and a good romance story. So, you know, how can you go wrong? How can you go wrong? I would like to welcome to the program today Josh, it's Cowith, hopefully I'm saying his last name right, and Darren, I didn't get your last name, Darren, the cinematographer for the movie Same Boat. Darren, first off, what's your last name?
Kwan. Kwan's my last name, and hello, happy to be here.
Yes, same, happy to be here.
Josh, I hope I didn't butcher your name up too bad.
it's Cowith,
right?
But you're pretty close.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good thing. We are missing Chris Roberti today, but that's okay. He had some stuff that had come up, and, it's the world we live in right now. First off, you guys doing okay and everything, right?
Yeah. You know, it's times are crazy, but holding up okay on my end.
Yeah. So far, so good, man. I mean, we're lucky enough to have our family's healthy and safe, so hopefully it stays that way. Otherwise, trying to keep out of trouble by doing creative projects and having interviews. So I'm excited that this is happening.
I'm telling you, man. I am telling you. You know, it's weird. I work from home. I'm not in the movie business. I'm a painter by trade. I paint pictures of people. But I work from home, you know, and I do my little podcast and whatnot. And so you would think I was used to this. I don't know if it's having my wife home that's throwing me out of whack or what it is. I am, like, constantly tired and just exhausted. but I'm doing trying to stay busy. But it's crazy. I've never seen any. I know everybody's saying that, and it's so true. I don't think anybody's seen anything like this or predicted it coming, you know, really, more than, like, you know, a few months ago.
It's totally zany, and it's totally, you know, what's been interesting to me is seeing how everybody is finding their own way to navigate it, and that's been particular to each person. I think some people, like yourself or me, actually, I'm used to a lot of working from home, so maybe the adjustment has been a bit better, but for me, the option being taken away of going to hang out with people has been a surprisingly difficult because it's not like I was doing that all the time anyway, because a lot of the times I'm just at home like working. But as soon as you go, no, you can't do that anymore, then it's kind of like,
then you want to do it.
I can't. Yep. I can't even, like, if I feel like it. So that's been, and honestly, if that's the most difficult part of this, I'm pretty happy. But I think everybody has those little subcategory difficulties where you're just like, oh, this, I didn't expect this to be hard with all of this. Yeah, I mean, above all, if we can stay sane and stay healthy, that's fine with me.
Well, I agree. How are you holding up, Josh? You doing okay? Just working at home?
Yeah.
So I'm
in California, so it's, the weather's nice here. My family's on the East Coast, and like Darren said, I usually freelance, and so that leaves a lot of time at home. So for that, it's kind of, you know, not too abnormal, but just trying to watch less news. And, you know, I think also just try to like stay grounded, because you can get caught up in the news cycle and that doesn't feel good. But, you know, hanging in there for now.
I hear you. I have to limit myself. you know, and I'm a partially educated person. I think I'm doing okay. You know, I'm not just walking into walls or anything. But man, I'm telling you, you watch 20 minutes of the news, you're like, oh my God, I need to move to Norway or Antarctica or something. You know, it's insane.
Yeah, makes it crazy.
I'm telling you, it's crazy. It is. I got a little bit of a taste of that, and we're going to talk about your fantastic movie. It reminded me when we were talking about this just now. Before all this happened, me and the missus were up at Disney World of all places, and you know, we're at one of those resort places in the room, and it was the evening, and she comes out of the back and she said, "Hey, I just heard that we closed all Europe off now. You know, nobody can come from Europe or something." That was the news bite of the evening. And I'm like, oh shit, let me put on the news here and see what's going on, you know, because I needed to know. And, you know, I had been kind of half making fun of people. I'm like, oh, look at all these people freaking out, you know, blah, blah, blah. I watched 20 minutes of the news and I'm calling like family and, are you okay? You got plenty of supply. And I'm like, oh, I had to catch myself and go, I'm caught up in it. I'm one of these people now, just from 20 minutes. It was
yeah, crazy. It's kind of crazy how quick that can happen if you just kind of bury yourself in the news cycle. It's easy to get caught up, and it's not fun.
Yeah, you kind of have to strike a balance, I found. It's important to stay informed, but once you know the facts of the situation of the day's news cycle, you also need to give yourself a break. Because you know that your mental health can start to kind of decline if you just focus too much on this big thing, this elephant in our rooms that's going on, and that's why I think it's really important to take care of yourself too. You know, make sure that you're, you know, getting good food in your system and doing exercise,
right?
And you're not just binging on the news, because that's a recipe for crashing, as far as I'm concerned. And I think we've all been there. All my friends I've had the same conversation with, where we might spend a day or two just obsessed with the headlines, and then feeling really strung out. And I'm like, man, if this is going to go on for a while, that's no way to be. You know, you really have to figure out how to sustain. Because it's the long game we're in right now. You know, we can't just be watching the clock. I'm like, oh, when's school going to get out? When are we going to be able to go back outside? You know, we have to commit. So
right. You
got to strategize, you know?
Well, I think you're very wise. I think that's very good advice. And, you know, if anybody listening is having a rough time with all this, well, turn the TV off or turn the news off. And hey, how about this? You could watch a cool indie movie. How about that? How about that?
Great segue. Great segue.
And, you know, this is such a cool story, Josh. I'm a big science fiction fan. I love science fiction. Right, you know, reading it, watching it, it's all about it. And specifically time travel, because time travel is hard to do, because you know, it's have all these paradoxes that can form and whatnot. But you guys took a lighthearted, although sinister, you know, dark comedy twist to it, and come up with the same boat. How did all of this come about?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think a lot of people, including us, like time travel, sort of a nice like fantasy, and when you watch it in movies, it's always really exciting. In part because, you know, of our budgetary restrictions, the movie was just made for such a low cost. We sort of approached it in a lo-fi way, where we wanted to make time travel and sci-fi be, you know, an element in the film, but we really wanted to sort of center the movie around comedy and these human relationships. And so that's kind of how we approached that. You know, so it's not quite like a Terminator-level film when it comes to effects, but hopefully the film kind of grabs you because, you know, it's charming and just, you know, in the writing and then the performances and things like that. So that's kind of how we approach the sci-fi element. But yeah, this is something that Chris Roberti and I were talking about for a while, and we went on a test cruise. So him and I we went on a cruise about a year before we made this film, to sort of brainstorm, and we came up with this idea, and then we spent the next year writing it, and then we took the cruise to shoot the movie on.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Elvay Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Nice. Well, you know, as I understand it, now I was looking at my show notes, and I did a double take because I'm like, what? You guys shot this film on a cruise ship? You just kind of shot it guerrilla style while you're on the ship, right? As I understand it?
Yeah, so the movie from the beginning was more or less conceived as being done in secret, in part because no cruise company was really going to partner with us. We tried reaching out to a few, but we never really expected that to happen. And so, you know, from my end, producing the film, I was always kind of curious who was going to shoot this, who was going to be able to actually kind of like be able to film in a way that you wouldn't get noticed. And before we made this movie, Darren and I worked on Empathy, Inc. So I think we actually interviewed Yedidia from Empathy a few months ago. Yedidia directed Empathy, Inc. And so Darren and I both worked on Empathy. He was a cinematographer. I produced it. And seeing Darren, the way he was able to sort of film that movie with a limited crew kind of got me excited that he might be like the right person to film Same Boat. And he could talk about more about how he did it, but we filmed the movie in secret. No one knew that we were shooting it. None of the other cruise goers, none of the staff on the boat really knew what was going on. And so we took a little while to sort of conceive of how to pull that off. But getting Darren on board was a big part of that.
That's amazing, man. That is so cool. That is awesome. Now, is there going to be, like, blowback? Like, have you heard from the cruise ship? Well, they're probably busy right now. You know, they're probably wondering if they're even going to be in business. But I'm curious to know, like, because this has been out for a minute. Did they, like, say, hey, you know, what are you? But you're in international waters, so I guess everything is good. Right?
So I mean, yeah, I'll let Darren kind of I'll let Darren speak to that. But you know, when you're on a cruise, there are so many more things going on around you that seem more problematic than, you know, the potential of somebody, you know, filming something that they shouldn't be filming.
Yeah, I'll kind of jump in here with regards to the cruise ship. I think I remember an early conversation with both Josh and Chris where it was clear that we were not going to have permission, and I was kind of not surprised too, because I like Josh,
right,
kind of never really expected a cruise ship company to embrace the idea of filming. It seems to raise too many questions to be reasonable. But at the same time, that created a very appealing situation of the idea of shooting it being a once in a lifetime kind of thing, where it had to be something you said yes to, if only for that reason, because it was a particular group of people, specifically Josh and Chris, who were down to lead a project like this, whereas other creative people might have been more cautious and perhaps rationally so. But at the same time, the kind of let's swing from the hip and see if we can do this was really appealing. And also, I really, as Josh had said, we had just worked on this other film together, and I understood kind of the certain chemistry that Josh brings to the table. And I should also say I had worked with Chris Roberti in the past before on another project. So having worked with both of them, I felt like it made it also easier to say yes to, because I understood what both would bring to the table, that there was a certain professionalism that would be there.
Right.
This was not just a ragtag kind of group of pirates going on to a cruise ship and just like carpet bombing footage, that there would be some prep involved, that we would be asking the right questions of the situation, and we would go into it with a kind of organized approach that I think was really important and kept us all on the same page. So instantly the conversations were really productive about how can we do this, and also at the same time, how can we do this respectfully, because at no time did we entertain like interrupting other people's cruise ship experience or making a nuisance of ourselves towards other people, or drawing too much attention to ourselves. So it was clear that we were respectfully approaching it, but also at the same time of like, we were accepting what it was by definition, like we weren't going to have permission. So all of our decisions at that point started lining up behind that fact of how can we do this in a way that is not going to get us in trouble, is going to be respectful of other people, but also is acknowledging the fact that no cruise ship is ever going to give us the go-ahead to make any movie, let alone this movie with time travel and love and nudity. Let's be real. There's nudity in the movie. So,
Darren, the nudity got cut out last minute. Nudity in the movie. Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay.
It was a beta.
That's switch, in the
you know, for audience members
edition.
Like you, there.
Okay.
Well, it's very punk rock, and just it's very cool. You know what I mean? The whole idea of it, and it's a great story. And you guys, you know, got this together and everything. And you were using just like you had to have smaller cameras and stuff, I imagine, right? To make it happen. I mean, you couldn't have big honking things or whatnot. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they don't even use those anymore. I don't know, but it looks really nice.
Yeah.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Mm-hmm. The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you're absolutely right. We could not have, going back to the givens, we were never going to have a big cinema camera. We were never going to have a crew to speak of, really. So we chose our camera pretty quickly. There was the Sony A7S and then just one zoom lens. It was like a 24-105 f4 Canon lens. And that was pretty much it. Josh brought another lens. It was a 24-70 G Master, which is a very nice lens too. But I never had like an AC, or I wasn't even really changing lenses at all. And honestly, like other passengers on the cruise ship had cameras that were comparable to the camera I was shooting the movie on.
Right. So they just,
and so it was never going to be an eye-catching camera. But it's good in low light. It keeps it flexible. And I just had it strapped around my neck, and it was the most easy thing to carry around. And it allowed us to be fluid in a way that didn't draw attention.
That's awesome.
I think that's the world.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I think that's the world that we live in now, where a type of camera that you can shoot a feature length film on or a commercial that would end up on TV could be small enough that, like, anyone could own it and that anyone would take it on vacation, so it would not draw any attention. And also everyone who's on vacation is kind of filming their vacation around you. So you're in an environment where everyone is filming each other and uploading those films to the internet, and everyone has the same cameras. And so, you know, 10 years ago you couldn't do that, but certainly now, just like the technology is getting so affordable and so small that, you know, anyone could sort of get away with something like this, you know, kind of neat.
It's so cool. It is so cool. And, you know, any celebrity will tell you, you know, you got to watch what you're doing. Everybody can possibly have a camera. You know, there's no shenanigans going on. Well, I mean, if there are, you got to be prepared, you know. So people probably, we live in a, like you guys are saying, a society where, you know, that's just the norm, you know, that things are going to be filmed, you know.
I think, you know, in trying to figure out what's a proper legal argument about how we can pull this off, you know, part of it is sort of viewing the cruise ship sort of as public domain, that even though it's a private space, everyone is really, no one is kind of viewing it that there is any type of privacy there. And I think something similar happened with Escape from Tomorrow, that movie that was shot at Disney World without permission, where that was both this like side of black and white sci-fi horror, so it was like parody, and that was like a reason why they were able to get away with what they did. But also, like, Disney World is just a public place. It's technically not, but it's certainly not like a motel at night where someone expects privacy. So I think a cruise ship is very much,
right,
you know, a similar type of environment.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, you had went on the previous cruise before, you know, the brainstorm and whatnot that you mentioned. Were you a fan of cruise ships and whatnot? I mean, when you went, because honestly, I've been on a couple, and I never thought, hey, this would be a great place to shoot a movie, but I'm not in that world, you know what I mean? Filmmakers who do go on cruises think that. I don't know.
So I'm curious, you have what it sounds like neutral feelings towards cruise ships.
They're all right. You know, I live in South Florida, and everybody here thinks they're just phenomenal. I don't know. You know, it's just not my personal cup of tea, but I can see the appeal, you know.
Okay.
People My wife loves them, you know, and I'm glad she has plenty of girlfriends to go on Christmas with. Let me put it that way. Plus, you know, I don't want to get killed by a time traveling assassin, so I've got that on my quill now.
Listen, as we've all learned, Christmas are very dangerous places. And you know, I think it feels like a fairly polarizing environment where people tend to have really strong feelings that they love them or hate them. I know that when we were on our cruises for both doing the location scout and then filming it, I think there's a lot to celebrate and a lot to make fun of. There's a lot of excess, there's a lot of waste, there's a lot of sort of things that are kind of cringy. But on the other hand, the thing that was kind of neat to watch, at least on our cruise ships, is that it was like very much a melting pot. It was probably one of the most diverse places that I'd ever been in. It's a very affordable place to take vacations with families, just because the cost can be pretty low, and then there's childcare built in. So for a lot of people, it seems like this is like one of the only types of ways to actually take your whole family on vacation. And so I think there was also a lot of like a nice sort of like celebration of the human spirit that you could kind of see on the boat too, where if you just leaned into it a little bit, instead of making fun of it, you could kind of see the joy that a lot of people were having while they're on it. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of different ways to look at it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
an older neighbor who does it. Her whole family, this past Christmas, they all went, like 11 of them, on a cruise for like a week and a half. And she's like, it was so much better. I didn't have to clean up. I didn't have to prepare anything. We had the best time in the world. I'm like, wow, oh, yeah, I get it.
Josh, you should talk about that particular point, because the nature of the cruise ship that so much is already taken care of, actually, it makes it a perfect place to film, because from a producer's perspective, it's like those are the things that sometimes take up the most of your thinking time of like, how am I going to feed the crew? How am I going to get the set dressed? You know, how are you going to take care of all these needs? You know, housing, transportation to and from the set. Like, can you imagine an environment that, other than a cruise ship, that truly checks off all those boxes for you? You know, that's part of the, you know, the ingenuity of the way this was put together.
Yeah, that's
yeah, that's
gold,
man. That is gold, because it's all right there.
Yeah, exactly. So it's part of the original idea, which is how to basically hack a production. And I think that was a fun way to think about how to put together an indie film, like Darren was saying, you know, what sort of environment kind of takes care of almost all the logistic needs that a film might have. And then kind of within that, it's just sort of fun to have constraints, you know, when thinking of a story and thinking of how to execute it. And for us, I mean, I think there was definitely stress of how to pull this off in public. Were people noticing us? Were we going to get caught? At times, certain like crew members of the ship were sort of looking at us, you know, with like a sort of a side glance, sort of thinking that maybe they knew what was going on. But it was really nice to have like all the meals taken care of. And when we had a scene in the movie where the characters had to eat dinner, we like went to the dining room and the waiters came and brought food, and you know, it was just all there. So that did prove to be a nice treat to have while making the film.
That's cool, man. That is cool. Now, the film, you've had it out at some film festivals and whatnot, and I know all the festivals and everything are on hold right now, you know, for the next month or so, and then I'm sure they'll be, you know, starting back up and whatnot. Is the film out, or do people need to go to their festivals that will be showing this in the future to see it at this point?
Yeah, no, today is actually the first day that it's out. It got released today on video on demand, so it's available on iTunes right now. So you can go and for a few bucks rent the movie. And yeah, you know, we're excited to have it be released and see what people think of it. And, you know, see what they say.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now at Sprint, get any next-generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month. Second phone, $0 per month after $31.25 per month credit. Apply within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Rucks Gear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
That is fantastic. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll be putting a link up on our show page, and I'll be posting it out on all my social media. I'll look it up just as soon as I'm done, or you can just click on it and get right there and rent the movie and whatnot. So that's cool, man. Out today. How about that?
Yeah.
How about
very
that?
Very excited.
Another one out. Very, very cool. So you were part of
– Yeah, good timing on the interview.
Right?
Day of release. Perfect. Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you, man. I didn't even realize the Empathy's still out, right, and still clucking along and doing well and everything?
Yeah, Empathy's doing great. Shudder picked it up, so you can watch it on Shudder. It's also on Amazon Prime, so if you have that membership, you can watch it for free. Otherwise, you can still rent it on iTunes, Google,
nice.
Sort of all the places you can rent movies. And, yeah, people are still watching it and reviewing it, and that's also kind of exciting
movie.
To see the response to that. Thanks so much.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites of the year last year. It was just done so cool, almost David Lynch-esque, you know, with the way the lighting and everything. It was just very cool that you could understand it, you know. And it was a good idea, I thought.
No, thank
very,
you. I mean, Darren
cool.
has not, you know, really accomplished a lot with very little on that film to give it a unique look. So it's nice to hear that.
Well, that's awesome, man. It sounds like you guys have a good team together and, you know, a good way to go about these projects and turning these films out. You know, I don't know if anybody told you guys this. Filmmaking is supposed to be real hard, you know. You guys make it look real easy.
I will say there's nothing worse out there than making a film. I think there's also like nothing as satisfying as making a film, but it's like one of the worst experiences someone could go through.
Yeah, I think I totally agree that, you know, filmmaking can be really hard, and I think that's something that Josh and I like really connect on in a big way. Is that okay? We get how hard filmmaking can be. How can we work smarter so that, you know, maybe it's a little bit easier, you know, because I do think that sometimes if you just accept, oh, filmmaking is really hard, it prevents you from seeing the opportunities to actually make your life a little bit easier. And to me that,
right.
And to us really, it's about asking the right questions in pre-production to anticipate problems and also to create a crew size and equipment package size that is only as big as it needs to be. And those two things together, I feel like in my work, that's kind of where I go to first when I'm thinking about shooting something or making something, because I do think that those are questions that aren't often asked in my experience. There's a lot of default ways of working when it comes to shooting stuff that comes from really just people's experience that, okay, when you go to shoot something, what do you need? Oh, I need the cinema camera. I need first and second AC. I need a gaffer. I need two grips. I'm going to need a cube truck, and immediately go to kind of business as usual. And I think it's always beneficial, and I found in my experience, to before you go to what is usually done, instead ask yourself, what am I shooting right now? Mm-hmm. And how can I, it sounds lazy, but how can I do as little as possible to get the job done, you know? And really, I feel like just from a, you know, zooming out to a creative standpoint, I feel like mm-hmm. laziness can be the mother of invention when it comes to finding ways of working. I think that quite often, and I work a lot in post-production and animation as well, so I find this to be true across many different areas where, you know, you can think to yourself that you have to get in there and model every little detail, but really sometimes if you can automate certain things, it allows you to focus on more important problem solving and not drain your resources on things that really aren't going to add to the larger effects that you're trying to go for. And that's one of the reasons I love, you know, doing projects like this movie. One of the reasons I wanted to do it is because I'm constantly asking myself, how much can one do with very, very little? And I find that's a really stimulating, creative place to be working from, because it forces you to not focus on the gear, not focus on the money, but finding creative solutions to problems that also allow you to stay efficient. And honestly, allow you to have a better time when you're shooting stuff. It's just more fun when you're not having to sweat over, you know, where are we going to put the, you know, 40 flight cases of gear? Well, there are no right. 40 flight cases. It's all there in one case. Okay, so that I don't have to think about that. Oh, well, what does that enable me to think of instead? And sometimes it's as simple as just right. I'm enjoying my time and I'm present more and I'm not, you know, stressed and haggard. That said, I should say sometimes you do have to be stressed and haggard, and sometimes it's unavoidable, and that's the life that we choose. And I love that part of film too. You feel like you've really put in an honest day's work. But that's right. that's my thinking on it. You got to think about, well, what are some other solutions to this that maybe could make the whole picture better.
And there's nothing wrong with being tired at the end of the day. You know, you put in the work, you've got it done. It sounds like it's
oh, yeah.
a triage, you know, problem solving triage before they're problems. And man, we should all strive to do that in whatever type of work we do, you know?
Oh yeah.
I think you're
yeah.
on.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I think there's, yeah, there's a lot there to chew on, and I do think it's bigger than just film. I feel like it's almost like a life thing, you know? Like, why am I stressing about this thing over here? Is it really that important? You know, it's something that I think we all kind of come to in various ways.
Wow, absolutely, and you know, they're inspiring, man. I am going to try to start doing that on a daily basis. My blood pressure
yeah,
is man. Going to advance.
yeah, no, of course.
Because I get worked up on stuff. I do. I'm a worrier by nature, and too much so. And I think that's good advice. Well, I have to ask you guys. I know we're running close on time. You guys are just fascinating to talk to, and I'm so happy that you guys are on. Is there, I know we're focusing on same boat right now and whatnot, but you guys are so good at what you do. Is there, are the gears turning for future projects, and can you talk about them yet?
I can start. Sure. A film I made after same boat. sort of got caught in the crosshairs of all these festivals getting canceled. So it premiered, you know, a few weeks ago at Cinequest, the same festival that Same Boat premiered at. And it's kind of like a cross between Same Boat and Empathy Inc. It's like a dark comedy. So it has, like, I feel like the humor of Same Boat, but a little bit of the darkness from Empathy. And that's called An Exquisite Meal. So, you know, it's a bad time to be trying to have a film on the festival circuit. So we'll see what happens with that one. But I still think it was really well made. And then, you know, talking to Yudidia and Mark from Empathy about a new project that we're developing, a little too early to talk about it, but just trying to figure out what's next and how to also make a movie on a little bit of a larger scale. You know, I think these films are fun to make, but they're not really sustainable to make. And so that's something that, you know, we're trying to figure out how to crack a little bit more thoughtfully. So, yeah, that's kind of where the thoughts are at.
Yeah, smart. That's cool,
yeah,
man. Well, I can't wait to see and to check it out. I didn't mean to cut you off, Darren. Go ahead.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, on my end, I think I'm taking this unusual time that we're in right now to just kind of double down on a bunch of creative projects as a way of best using the time that we all seem to have on our hands. So I've been digging deep into working on a screenplay, a horror film that, you know, I'm pretty excited about. And then I'm also a musician and a composer. So I've been really devoting a lot of time to that, specifically learning a lot of jazz tunes from the 1920s and 30s, you know, classic bebop songs. And I've been putting on weekly Instagram live concerts for folks on my Instagram channel, solo guitar playing. And that's actually been, you know, a really, really fun thing. My wife, you know, basically said, Darren, I think you need, a creative project right now. You should start doing this. And I was super, super nervous when I did the first one, but now I've done three and I'm going to do another one this Thursday. And it's been like the best place to focus my energy. And I feel like it's given me a lot back just preparing for these little concerts, you know, learning new tunes and studying them. So, those
That's
are the
awesome.
Two main things that I'm working on. Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. I definitely, I'll have to get a link. I will send you a Facebook or an email or something and get a link, and we'll post that up also so people can check it out. You know, that's one of the good things about this whole thing is, well, number one, we get to see, you know, Trevor Noah and everybody looking rough without the big production budget. We're all going, this is a Tuesday. you know, we live with it. But people are doing creative things and discovering. It's a chance to discover some really cool stuff that you might not have known about before, you know, and check it out. I'm totally going to check that out. I love that kind of music. But that's just me. That's cool. I thought I was the only one.
No, man, you're not alone. You're not alone. There's other folks out there. So, yeah. Awesome, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, guys, I know you guys are, busy and wicked busy, and today's the big release date, so lots going on today. there will be numbers and laptops a-clicking, I am sure, all day long. So I'll let you guys go, but, man, thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule to be on the show and everything. I appreciate it, and Darren, thank you so much for stepping in last minute. I mean, that's very, very cool,
Absolutely.
I don't know what John
my pleasure,
but made it happen.
Jamie, thanks so much for having us. It was fun to talk about the film, and we really appreciate you taking time as well.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah, anytime. I can't – guys, I said it before, and I really mean it. Keep doing what you're doing. You're real good at it. And, whatever we can do to help for the next project, you know, can't wait for it. Everyone's just out of
thank
heart.
You so much.
Real good stuff.
Oh, thank you, man.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
Well, folks, that's going to wrap it up for us today.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, go on. I was just going to say you should stay safe and healthy, Jamie, during all of this.
Oh, I'm trying, man. I'm trying. I'm telling you, my wife's been making all these masks. She's, I don't know if you guys know about cosplay or anything. She's really into that, and actually has a whole business doing that. And so, she's got all this crazy fabric and everything. She makes these real fancy, intense costumes, and she turned her eyes to making masks. And boy, have I got some cool masks? Is
all I gotta
say. Very cool. I feel like I should be a video game. Yeah. It's awesome. I look for an excuse just to go outside to wear them. No, but just walking my dog and stuff. Freaking the neighbors out. Anyhow, we will, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up for us today. We will be back tomorrow. Have a great time, everybody. And everybody stay safe and, be smart and whatnot. And, do your thing. Check out some new stuff. Try to check out a couple new things a day. You'll be amazed on what you find. There's a lot of cool stuff happening out there. So I'll have all those links posted, everybody, and we will see you tomorrow. Have a good one. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.